Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot. Whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever, that's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm going to be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
Okay, so our speaker today is Boyton Hodgson, the Communications and Marketing Director for the Mankind Project USA, which is part of a global brotherhood of nonprofits conducting transformational initiation programs for men at every stage of life and supporting a network of men's groups serving over 10,000 men every week. He's the author of The New Macho, a credo for the mature masculine, shared over 50,000 times and published in numerous blogs, magazines, and books. The New Macho is a credo that captures some of what Boyton believes is an emergent evolution of masculinity around the world. He's dedicated to nurturing the powerful, emotionally aware, accountable, and purpose-driven men we need to help heal our society's deepest wounds. So in this session, Boyton will cover what he sees as three of the key transformations embodied in the New Macho, and three of the biggest obstacles that get in the way. Unfortunately, Boyton is unable to join us in person for this session, but has kindly recorded his presentation in advance, which Rebecca will play for us now. So without further ado, please sit back and relax as Boyton shares his wisdom with us.
Hello, everyone. My name is Boyton Hodgson. I'm the Communications and Marketing Director for the Mankind Project USA. I am so grateful to be here at the Embodiment Conference, and I am sad that I don't get to be with you live today. I want to thank the creators of this conference for bringing together this amazing group of people over this 2 weeks. And I hope that you will enjoy the next 45 minutes with me. So without further ado, let's get started and spend a little time talking about the Mankind Project. So the Mankind Project is a 35-year-old nonprofit organization started in the United States in the Midwest and pretty rapidly from 1985 to 1995 and 2000, grew from one little area in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to a global organization. We now have 15 regions around the world where we host men's groups, and we have 12 regions around the world where we do training programs on a regular basis. So that's kind of a bit of the international flavor of MKP from where it started out. I'll say more about what we do and the types of work that we work on as we go further in the presentation. But first, this presentation is called The New Macho, a 21st Century Credo for the Mature Masculine. And I thought that maybe one place to start out would be a story of a boy that might hold a clue about how we become men. Or anyway, how I became a man. And I'll try and connect this to the Embodiment Conference as much as I can. So that's me. That's my family. I'm the little dude in the overalls with the red turtleneck on. I had those overalls for quite a long time, and this is me growing up in upstate New York here in the United States. And this was before my family actually got larger. That's my mom, my dad, my older brother, and one of my younger brothers. I had three more younger brothers by the time this was all done. So I grew up surrounded by boys and men. It was around me everywhere. I have a father who's still in my life today, who has been in my life for my entire life. And for about the first 10 years of my life, I would say I lived a pretty idyllic childhood. I had both my parents. We lived in a very rural place. We lived on a farm. I was outdoors a lot. We had all kinds of animals, every animal you can imagine. My father was a veterinarian. My mother was a gardener, everything. It was this beautiful, beautiful, idyllic thing. And you can kind of see that in my picture here. We were a bunch of towhead kids in upstate New York, out in the fields. And then around the age of 10, my whole idyllic world kind of fell apart. And my parents divorced. Each of them remarried very quickly after that. And that set up a whole series of years of kind of what I call chaos. So the chaos years of my life, where I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't have a deep sense of safety about the world. And so what I did, being the boy that I was and having the skills, the things that I brought into the world with me, I learned to pass. I learned to get by. I learned to be a very good boy so that I would not lose the love that was chaotically swirling around me. And I learned to put on a mask. So even though this is a recording and I'm not there with you, I would ask you right now, if you, as a boy or a girl, put on a mask to get by in the world, raise your hand. And if you, as somebody who identifies as a man now, can recall when that was that you put on the mask and started doing things, started occupying a persona in the world that had you not be the fullness of what you were when you were that little child. That's me. That was who I was. That was who I became. How does that work now? So this is by my good friend Mark Green at Remaking Manhood. I really love Mark and I love what he's put together as a way of demonstrating and showing kind of what it is that we do to boys and young men as they're growing up in the world. We're going to be talking a little bit more about this and I'm going to share this video with you. This is me up until about age 10, overflowing, full. And this is what happens. And we think that in the Mankind Project, that this happens to most men. That's what we've witnessed over time. That there's a constriction that happens. And this is what's found in studies as well. That we get constricted down into a lesser version. And we begin through being shamed, being bullied, through physical violence, through rejection, through a lot of the messages that we can take on from culture, that we're not fully there, we're not fully good enough, so we anchor down. So that is a little bit about what we're going to call the man box culture. So I'm going to look at the slide with you again here. Epidemic levels of social isolation, illness, and early mortality. Narrowing range of emotional expression. And what does that lead to? Leads to this constriction that oftentimes ends up being either explosive or implosive. So for me, putting on the mask, being a good boy, I was implosive. I took everything in. I embedded it deep in my body. All of the shame, all of the fear that I carried with me, everything that I carried, I hid deep down. I didn't show my true personality. I didn't show my authentic being, my authenticity, who I was. And what that led to was years and years and then decades of me not knowing exactly who I was, not knowing exactly what I wanted to be, not knowing how I wanted to live in the world, but occupying a very small place. So we're going to keep going from here. Welcome to Manbox Culture, the sum of the impacts that Manbox Culture has on boys and young men. So men are 3.5 times more likely to commit suicide. Suicides become epidemic around the world. With two categories of men, it's in the top 10 causes of death. 90% of violent crimes are committed by men. 95% of sexual assaults, 99% of rapes. This thing that we hear about out in the media there that we can unpack a little bit more, but this thing called toxic masculinity that we hear talked about, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the suppressed emotional realities of boys and men that explode into unhealthy behaviors because culture, this man-box culture, doesn't give us a whole lot of options. Men die 5 years earlier than women. This is a key concept in what I'm going to talk about here. And I get this concept from a newer book called X Plus Y, which is a mathematical look at gender, manhood, womanhood. Masculinity is prescriptive. It tells us what to be rather than descriptive, describing what is. So what do we mean by it's prescriptive? Masculinity ends up being something that's imposed from the outside and reinforced. We talk about the idea that manhood polices itself. So we get messages from the culture, we get messages from other boys and men, we get messages from women about what men are supposed to be. And it becomes a constricting model. And that constricting model often ends up having men and boys then try to impose that kind of prescription onto others and creating cultures of dominance, cultures of unhealthy hierarchy, where men's possible natural abilities for leadership, for drive, for accomplishment, all of these things that are associated with the positive aspects of masculinity get converted into something that's unhealthy. And as we know, hurt people hurt people. And so why the embodiment conference? Why are we getting here? A lot of this stuff that we're talking about comes down to it. There's paradox. Men are hurting. That does not mean men are not responsible. Men are responsible for creating the situations that we are creating, for creating the violence and domination that we create. Men are also hurting. Men are victimized by the same system, by the same toxic boxes, by the same man-box culture that we are also, in some ways, get privileges from. We get advantages from this culture, and we also get hurt by this culture. And it's our belief in the Mankind Project, and certainly my belief personally, that men are needed. We need healthy, fully embodied, emotionally available, present men out there. These men we call new warriors in the Mankind Project. We talk about them that way. The old stories of being a man aren't working, and we are paying a price as a culture. So I don't want us to go back into a time of the Marlboro Man. I don't want us to go back into that time. And what's more, evolution doesn't work that way. Evolution moves forward, in my opinion, in my view. And I believe that there is something evolving, there is something emerging for all of us as men that Charles Eisenstein, who was also here in the Embodiment Conference, would talk about as we're in a time between stories. The old cultural stories aren't working for us. We're still waiting, we're still developing, we're still helping to emerge this new story of what manhood and masculinity is like. In the Mankind Project, our role, we feel, is to help men wake up to this, to help men grow up, take responsibility for what's around them, continue this growth process, clean up the damage that we create, clean up ourselves, clean up our emotional lives, and then what's on my side of the street and what's on your side of the street. How can we work with others, work with all of us to keep building a healthy culture and show up to help men out in the world create the beautiful visions of healthy masculinity, again, that Charles Eisenstein, the more beautiful world that our hearts know is possible. How can we take what we learn and continue to develop something healthy and beautiful in the world? And this all starts, here we are at the Embodiment Conference. This all starts in our bodies. That repression of emotion, that transition that I went through as a very young boy into my teen years and then into my 20s, all got embedded in my body, all got carried in my body. And in the Mankind Project, one of the places that we go to help men move through this is back to their bodies, back to their breath, back to their embodied being, back to their energy. We use a lot of different ways to get there. We use a lot of different modalities, and we love finding new modalities. We're an integrative organization, which is something that I've really appreciated about MKP since I've been connected to it, which was 2004. So it's been a few years that I've been around the Mankind Project. And back to the title of the talk. So the title of the talk is The New Macho, about the new macho. Let me give you a little background on what the new macho is. This is something that I put together in 2010. In 2010, I saw a lot of articles that were coming out. And in one of the articles, it was in a Newsweek magazine, the author described this idea of an emergent new macho that he was seeing in the culture. And he used a couple of names. He threw out a couple of names of men who he thought were kind of emerging into this different space, into a space of masculinity that was a healthier expression of masculinity, that was more integrative, that was bringing in more stuff. This was years and years before the Me Too movement. And as we've kind of seen now, Me Too has kind of reminded us that there is a deep, deep level of work that we as a culture, as men, have to do around healing this kind of dominance-based culture so that we can create something where there is more equity and equality in our workplaces, in our culture generally, in our families. So even though I wrote this poem back in 2010, I think that I hope that you will take a walk with me and listen to the new macho, and let us take a couple of breaths together, and I will read. He cleans up after himself. He cleans up the planet. He is a role model for young men. He is rigorously honest and fiercely optimistic. He holds himself accountable. He knows how he feels. He knows how to cry and he lets it go. He knows how to rage without hurting others. He knows how to fear and how to keep moving. He knows how to seek self-mastery. He's let go of childish shame. He feels guilty when he's done something wrong. He's kind to men, kind to women, kind to children. He teaches others to be kind. He says he's sorry. He stopped blaming women or his parents or men for his pain years ago. He stopped letting his defenses ruin his relationships. He stopped letting his penis run his life. He has enough self-respect to tell the truth. He creates intimacy and trust with his actions. He has men that he trusts and who he turns to for support. He knows how to roll with it. He knows how to make it happen. He's disciplined when he needs to be. He is flexible when he needs to be. He knows how to listen from the core of his being. He's not afraid to get dirty. He's ready to confront his own limitations. He has high expectations for those he connects with and for himself. He looks for ways to serve others. He knows he is an individual, and he knows that we are all one. He knows he is an animal and part of nature. He knows his spirit and his connection to something greater. He knows that future generations are watching his actions. He builds communities where people are respected and valued. In times of need, he will be his brother's keeper. He takes responsibility for himself. He knows his higher purpose. He loves with fierceness. He laughs with abandon because he gets the joke. That's the new macho. So for me, this emerged as a picture of what might be possible for me as aspirational. In no way do I live up to everything that I've written in the new macho. But what I have for myself is an idea of something to strive for and something that I can look back on, something that I can ground myself in. And you know what? The first line, he cleans up after himself. A lot of days, that's about as far as I make it. And that's also okay. That might be the practice, cleaning up after myself, taking responsibility for myself. So now I'm going to get into the next portion of this where I talk about what I was leading off with here. Three obstacles and three keys to men's emotional growth. So I think that I've started to illustrate all of these already, but I'm going to go through them one at a time. So one, chronic isolation. Isolation kills men. Depression kills men. And greater than that, lack of connection is about the most damaging thing that a human being can experience. Isolation is toxic. Isolation is dangerous for us as humans. That is not how we evolved on the planet. And yet we have together created culture that is highly transactional, highly disconnected, that creates isolation, that creates this hiding, that creates this want to put on the mask, to wear the persona and hide away from everything else that might be going on. So that is an obstacle to men's emotional growth. And what do we do with that? Create community. So the Mankind Project started as a men's community, and we still are a men's community. We believe that there is a place for that kind of deep emotional connective work for men to do that work together in groups and on trainings so that we can learn together and take that back out into the world to benefit our families, our communities, to benefit our larger culture. We don't believe that men can stay in that kind of isolated men's culture and be healthy. That's a step one, is to do that work, to do that work together, much like the conversations that we are all engaged in around racism and other structural isms in the culture, right? That I, as somebody who was born with a lot of white privilege, I am responsible for doing that work with my other white folks so that I am not continually perpetuating damage onto other people, intentional or unintentional, conscious or unconscious. Men's community is one of the keys to men's emotional growth. An obstacle to men's emotional growth, emotional toxicity. I started here with just saying toxic shame, because shame is one of the core toxic emotions that we see in the Mankind Project. So many men get trapped in a sense of toxic shame. Shame being, I am not enough. I am fundamentally flawed, fundamentally broken, fundamentally bad. Something is wrong with me. Manbox culture is really good at telling us there's something fundamentally wrong with us. And of course, we also look out all of the women in the audience here, that is from girlhood, tiny girlhood. You are told that you must look this way, be this way, act this way in order to be a real woman, a good woman. Shame is so endemic in our culture and so damaging. And for men, we see men who will live for decades trapped in a sense of shame, not even understanding, not having enough emotional insight, not having enough self-awareness to even be able to identify it as shame, even to be able to identify what they're feeling or experiencing in their bodies. So the Mankind Project, we look at that as a key to what we do. And so we see this emotional toxicity show up in all kinds of places for men. And it stunts their ability to create healthy relationships. It inhibits them being successful. It inhibits them actually being able to process and work through the things that are going on in their bodies so that they can grow. And many men get stuck in this place of disconnection from their emotions for decades. And we hate to see it. So part of the Mankind Project is about creating an emotional practice for men. Men to learn from the very beginning, from a simple set of mad, sad, glad, afraid, guilty, or ashamed. From a very simple set of five emotions, into developing a rich emotional vocabulary that they can identify starting in their bodies. So that I can identify when I feel nervous, where does that show up in my body when I feel fear? When I feel ashamed, where does that shame show up in my body? When I feel angry, where does the anger show up in my body? And how can I use that as information, emotion as information, to inform the choices that I'm making, to inform how I'm interacting with the world, not getting stuck that emotion is the only thing or the number one thing, but creating a sense of integration between my thoughts, my body, my emotions, so that I'm using all the information available to me in the environment to make good decisions. And three, poor integration. Now, what do I mean by that? So a lack of integration, lack of the ability to see from a more objective place, rather than being stuck in my subjective, in only the I, in only my ego place, in only my self-centeredness, to learn to crack open just a little bit of air between that ego state and what's actually happening out there in the environment, so that I can step outside of it and look at the world in a new way and begin to integrate. So poor integration, a man with poor integration is going to lack self-awareness, is going to lack an ability to move beyond what he sees and just experiences. So in some ways, he's a slave to his emotions that are not being expressed or not being understood, a slave to circumstances around him rather than an embodied agent of his own responsible power in the world. So what do we do with this idea? Provide and expand on developmental maps. So much like, you know, a fixed mindset versus growth mindset, much like being stuck or in a flow state, a developmental map, developmental understanding for myself means that I can step outside of myself, get awareness of my situation, learn to work with the environment to gather maps. What do the maps look like? Those maps might look like yoga. Those maps might look like meditation. Those maps might look like any number of different practices. That might look like an archetypal map that we practice with Jung. That might look like a chakra map. That might look like typologies. That might look like integral theory, which is a very popular engaged map that we are using in the Mankind Project these days. so that we are seeing ourselves as developmental beings and developmental families and developmental communities and culture, and we have some agency in helping that move forward in a good way. Men's community for the 21st century. So this is what the Mankind Project is about. Any man looking to get more out of his life is invited to come engage with this process. The New Warrior Training Adventure is our flagship training that we've been doing for 35 years. Right now, in this time, we are holding very, very limited numbers of New Warrior Training Adventures because of the dangers of face-to-face interaction. They are starting to reemerge in Europe now. So, hey, we'll be back. That's coming. The New Warrior Training Adventure is an intense weekend. It's an intensive. It gets a man strongly in touch with his body, strongly in touch with his emotional reality, strongly embedded into a community where he sees other men experience their emotions, where he has the opportunity to move forward. We're now doing lots of online training. It's a blessing of this time that we get to use technology in a way to help men gain these understandings, work with these developmental maps, continue their emotional practice and be in community with one another. So we're moving ahead with that. And ongoing support through men's groups. So we have face-to-face men's groups. We have online men's groups. We have men's groups that are developed for men of all different typologies and demographics who can gather together no matter what geography they're in and share camaraderie and brotherhood and engage in this practice together. So there are opportunities with the Mankind Project. Experiencing authentic, raw emotional expression and learning to work with that and make something out of it. Create something beautiful. Create the more beautiful world that your heart knows is possible. Building on personal responsibility, accountability, and integrity. This is something that I have learned so much about being a part of the Mankind Project and having a brotherhood of men who can challenge me and support me to be accountable to the things that I am committed to in my world. Discovering a personal purpose and mission. Every man who leaves the New Warrior Training Adventure has a mission of service that he develops for himself from his own lived reality. The new macho has been part of my mission, creating that, creating, changing culture, evolving culture, and building bridges like this one at the Embodiment Conference. Confronting beliefs, wounds, and narratives that keep us from living full lives of integrity and connection. Doing the deep inner work. There is always more work to be done. And as my wife in her yoga practice often says, you are beautiful. You are perfect. And there is always more. We can begin with that state of self-acceptance, of deep self-love. And from that deep self-love, continue to emerge through old belief systems that no longer serve us. Feeling acceptance and acknowledgement of your unique lived experience, the highs and the lows, something that has been transformative for men and transformative for me is simply being in a group of men where I can be acknowledged and accepted and loved and held in a way that goes beyond, you know, a good elbow and watching sports and competitive and being that kind of man. And I can enjoy that too. I can enjoy that too. And it's great for me to have a place where I can go in, take off the mask, get really real with men. Breaking the isolation that many of us suffer to discover a connection, a brotherhood. That's what it really is. We are a global brotherhood of men. Over 70,000 men have taken our New Warrior Training Adventure. We're supporting about 10,000 men every week in our men's groups. We are expanding in the global south, growing into East Asia and Southeast Asia, adding more men's group, adding more communities. And that's really what it's about as a global organization, is more men in more circles, in more places, doing the kind of emotional connection work that will help all of us thrive. And I'll finish up with a video from Healthline, who met with us in New York City.
Hey, what's up? Omar here, and I'm in New York City to speak to a men's group that specifically focuses on mental health. For a lot of us men, it's really hard to ask for help. We're told to be tough, stop crying, suck it up. And when it comes to mental health, that's really bad advice. There are great resources out there to help with depression and improve overall mental health. And today, we're going to visit one. It's called the Mankind Project. This group has been around for 3 decades, hosting training and developmental programs specifically for men. Let's go check out one of their sessions and see what the Mankind Project is all about.
Thank you so much for coming tonight. I want to introduce you to Omar. Omar, these are my brothers. This is our I group.
Yeah.
We're going to introduce you to the Mankind Project by throwing you into the deep end of the pool. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so let's begin. So I need you guys to stand in one line.
The Mankind Project is a nonprofit training and education organization. We do intensive weekend trainings for men that help them really look honestly at their lives and move through obstacles. And we run men's groups where any man has an opportunity to be supported, encouraged, and challenged.
So I want you to know that you're welcome here. It's a space that you're accepted, the good and the bad, all of you.
Thank you. I think that culturally, men get socialized as boys out of actually fully experiencing and expressing their emotions. You know, it's okay to show anger, but not sadness. It's okay to show some kinds of aggression, but not fear. And then men tend to reinforce that with each other. Like, you know, bro, don't show that. Keep that stuff hidden. So we provide a practice space for learning to express and work with those difficult emotions.
Mankind Project gives me an opportunity on a weekly basis to practice what it is to be a man in the world today and how to be a man of integrity and be vulnerable.
Remind you to breathe and bring everything here, even the parts that you don't want us to see, you're welcome. Any man can benefit from being in a circle of other men where they're allowed to share the truth of who they are. Men's work isn't therapy, but there are some things that can happen in a group that you can never touch in therapy.
Whatever I experience, I can share with other men.
There's actually a growing evidence base now for the work that the Mankind Project is doing around isolation, around loneliness, around depression, and especially around depression in men. And one of the key things that we find is that this kind of work significantly reduces symptoms of depression and increases emotional availability and increases men's ability to connect with themselves and connect with others.
A lot of times I'm more overwhelmed than I am actually enjoying. And to have a space with you men to be able to actually express that without any questions or trying to fix the problem is valuable. Thank you very much.
A vision that I have for the community I live in, for my family, for other men, for women, is that it becomes part of our culture to say, hey, you know, where's your men's group? Where's your women's group? Where's the group of people that you sit down and really get real with on a regular basis to help you get what you want in life, to help all of us heal some of the deepest problems in our society?
Go for it. If you have a charge, thumbs up, no charge, thumbs down.
What I see happening is men stepping into their lives in a much more full way. Men being more present with their families. Men being more wholehearted in their careers. That impacts every aspect of our culture.
It's time to receive some care. And 3, 2, 1, go!
That was awesome.
Just take it.
Thank you. I'm going to.
Thank you guys. Thank you. This was amazing. This was authentic. It was vulnerable. It was fantastic. These are my new brothers. And I'm so happy for you guys. Thank you very much. And Mankind Project, we're out.
We're out.
And to the last slide. There I am, the beautiful boy that I was, still inside of me, still connected to who I am. thank you for being with me and spending this time with me. I deeply appreciate the Embodiment Conference. And come and see us, mankindproject.org, or in the United States, mkpusa.org. I would love to help you get connected to a men's community. Thank you.
Well, I guess it starts from the fact that men need this. And I feel for men. I feel for us as men, all of us. Exhausted, it's largely played out. But there's got to be a place for these energies, these skills, these things that we are.
My name is Jeff Lawton, animal name Eagle Rising.
My name is Aaron Marshall, animal name is White Rabbit Mountain Lion.
Aaron Robinson. Standing Bear.
I'm Jude Harrison.
My animal name is Tenacious Tiger.
Flowing River.
Chosen name is Standing Tall.
Proud Papa Brown Bear.
Skunk.
Great Horned Owl.
Passionate Stag.
Loping Llama.
Lionheart.
Sun Bear.
Heartful Jaguar.
Let's see. So my name is Michelangelo Stan Campiano. My mountain...
You know, to me, the idea of the mask is pretty central. People talk about personality all the time, and something happens. They say, well, that's me. That's my personality. Well, I've learned that the word personality comes from a Greek word, persona. And it means mask. So it says, oh, this is my person. You know, this is my personality. It's like, yeah, but that's not you. There's a person, and then there's a personality. There's the mask. And what does the mask do? The mask covers up the parts of me. I use it to cover up the parts of me that I'm afraid are not going to fly. They're going to get me in trouble. They're going to get me rejected. They're going to get me not loved. They're going to get me made fun of. They're going to get me something.
For me, the mask has always been, what do I want other people to see in me? Who do I want people to think I am? That's not really me. And I think the mask, attributes of the mask were, I wanted people to see somebody who was a decision maker, confident, always had answers to questions, always knew what he was doing, you know, smart, and that's all kind of baloney.
We weren't supposed to have feelings. That's what I was taught growing up. You know, big boys don't cry. Suck it up. It's just a little bit of pain. So not really in touch with here. And coming out of the weekend, went going, oh, wow, you know. I just had 70 men tell me it's okay to have feelings and to express them.
Because it is such a deeply ingrained pattern. Wow, is that mask on right now? Am I wearing it right now? Am I trying to show something that's not authentic, that's not real? What I noticed before I did the weekend was that the mask I wore as much as I possibly could was the happy mask. Everything's fine. Life's great. You know, there's no problem.
The mask is about survival. The mask is about here's the way I've learned to be successful in the world, for anybody, men or women. And the man's mask, I mean, women could talk poignantly about how they're supposed to be. We've got our own version.
Oh, my God. I'm in trouble, or I'm not in the majority opinion here, or whatever has dived me down into my hiding mask, where I'm there's nobody home, you know, it's just a mask with no light in the eyes.
An experience of seeing that there is such a thing as a mask. Maybe they didn't even know until they saw someone take it off, and then they saw another man take it off, and then they saw a third man take it off, and they say, I don't want to keep wearing this thing. Maybe I could take a chance.
There was a process where, I really had to get in touch with an old memory, you know, of things that happened when I was younger, and it was around my dad. I remember the trainer. You know, I was talking about my relationship with my wife and my daughter, and it was primarily my wife, and he said, kind of, you know, came by and said into my ear, how long do you think this relationship's going to last? And it was like, whoa, you know. And I realized, without even, you know, thinking it, it was unconscious, that I was always poised one foot toward the door. You know, if there ever came a time when it was too much, or I just, you know, I'm not going to put up with this anymore, whatever the story, just like my dad, you know, I could leave. And the turning point for me was that door was gone when I came back from my weekend.
The night that I came home, I remember my wife Cheryl telling me that my eyes had changed color.
I swear to God, his eyes were a different color. Yeah, when he left, they were hazel, and when he came back, they were blue. They were a blue that I've never seen on him. It was the weirdest thing. So clearly, I chalk that up to something as a soul change, you know, with the eyes being like the windows to the soul. I think that his windows were cleaned.
I'm holding two oranges, and what I got for my weekend is I got my balls back. And one thing that I remember from my welcome home, talking about my weekend, is I really learned about what anger is for me and how to express that and how to be in that and how that's okay.
There were definitely issues that different parts of the weekend really brought, you know, right there. And that, a few of those were really, really difficult for me to do. And opportunities that the weekend presented to move through them, those were pretty challenging and really brought me up against my shadow. And up to that point, I didn't have a whole lot of idea about what my shadows were. So I think, like anybody, when you're first confronting your shadow stuff, that was like a, what the fuck? And I didn't want to have it be done in public, you know, and so that was also challenging for me, was having to learn how to trust a group of men, that I could be that real, that raw, and that vulnerable. And of course, that turned out to be the biggest blessing of the entire weekend, was trusting those men, that I still do.
I've been searching for things to help me heal from physical abuse as an infant and sexual abuse as an adolescent. When I got introduced to Mankind Project and attended a circle, I was absolutely amazed and stunned to watch and listen to men share their deepest fears, their deepest feelings, and be supported, be loved, never ridiculed. It was an incredible experience for me, and allowed me to heal. And I realized here I could speak everything on my mind, my greatest fears,
And I learned by speaking I could heal. And as I healed, and I did in Mankind, I realized I could help other people heal. And Mankind was supportive. And I now have a nonprofit called Resilient People, where I speak on abuse at as many venues as I can. Mankind enabled me to do that. I had to do the work. It was challenging at times, but it was always loving. It was always supportive. It was truly a gift in my life.
All the feelings that's out here, everything that's going on in like a surface level, everything is gone. And then the deepest part of Ken, deepest part of me, can actually shine. That I can actually go to the world and then find out what I'm actually supposed to give, like what my true purpose really is.
I have a purpose in this world, and that's a wonderful thing to remember. I've got three.
All right. Oh, what a powerful talk. Thank you so much, Boysen. We have a treat for you, everyone. Boysen Hodges is able to make it here with us. Rebecca's just promoted him to the panel. Boysen, are you able to come on screen? Rebecca, can you spotlight Boysen for us, please?
I am very bright in the screen right now. My light is too hot. There we go. That's a little better. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for coming here. That was wonderful. We do have a couple of questions and we have a little bit of time.
Happy to, yes.
Right. So a question from Waleed here. He says, it's so difficult to get in touch with repressed emotions and begin to express them. They come out the wrong way in the beginning and can seem to be better not to go there. How do we negotiate this transition?
Yeah, slow practice over time. That the emotional practice piece that I laid out in my presentation, we ask men to get in touch with really simple. Are you mad, glad, sad, ashamed, afraid, right? Mm. Really simple places. And where do you find that in your body? And let's go to a place where we're not going to talk to that. We're not going to like, I don't want to tell stories about my emotions. I want to just feel. Mm-hmm. Can you feel it? Where is it in your body? What does it look like in your body? Can you give a sound to go with that emotion and just allow yourself to get in touch with that without making up a big story about it? That's men get trapped. I get trapped in this loop, right? I feel something, I start telling a story about it and I get myself amped up. Quiet it down to just experiencing the emotion and start there. Practice that.
Yeah, so it's like starting with the basics, learn the alphabet before you start writing and reading.
Right. Yeah.
And he sort of, Waleed has a bit of a follow-up to that, which is there's this concern that people aren't used to us being that way, expressing this new side of ourselves. Can it come out the wrong way? And what are some thoughts you have about that, you know, given that emotions were repressed in childhood and relationship with other people this whole time until now?
It is absolutely risky. Thank you. Yeah, it is scary to start to take those first steps. And what I have found is that when I begin to take those vulnerable emotions to people that I care about with an introduction of them, like, hey, I'm discovering something with transparency, like I'm learning things about myself. Would you be willing to witness? Would you be willing to be in this connection with me? If I just go, you know, if the floodgates open and I just go on blast to whoever I'm in relationship with, that is going to put up walls, it's going to flood, it's going to do all these things. So it's kind of a negotiation about, hey, I'm learning some new things about myself. Can you sit with me? Can we be in relationship with it?
Okay. Thank you.
Thomas Griggs. Oh my goodness. I know that guy.
So yeah.
mankindproject.org or mkpusa.org. On the Mankind, I'm in the man, in the US. On the MKPUSA site, what we do, men's groups, and we actually have live online open men's groups happening every week now. We have dozens of men's groups across the country right now operating fully on Zoom. So we're not doing a lot of face-to-face stuff right now. And thank you for putting that link up in the window. Good to see you, Thomas.
Yeah, we have some beautiful comments in the chat by Thomas, as well as David Kassow. Thomas says, Boysen is one of the most authentic men I know, meaning he's willing to own every one of his emotions as experienced in the body. I'm aware that there are very few places in the world where I or we can live full unfettered expression to the depth of our emotions, rage, grief, terror, unbounded joy. These circles provide that space. And David, calling in from Cape Town, South Africa, says, amazing and important session, speaking from experience. Just go to the MKP New Warrior Training. Thank you, Boysen. So you have some fans out there, Boysen. For me, this was a very insightful talk. I know I'm definitely taking some knowledge and skills to inform how I relate to the boys and men in my life. Want to wrap up here with everybody. As Boysen says, you can check him out at the mankindproject.org. There's also a Facebook a link for him as well, which Rebecca will put into the chat. And she'll be posting us several other links as well as I give you some closing information. So a good place to look for reference. I invite you all to the next session in the channel with Cian Palmer and Tanya Mayberg about ancestral connections through movement therapy and constellations. Please join. We also have coffee breaks in the community section of the portal website, as well as Facebook groups where you can connect with this awesome community. And thanks again to our sponsor, Dylan Newcomb, for making this possible, and to all of you for watching and participating with us. You can go to uzazu.org, where you can find more about the services offered by Uzazu Embodied Intelligence, including a free online embodied intelligence self-assessment and a 3-day live online training this November 19th through the 21st for helping professionals. The full content of the conference has a 50% discount now. By purchasing an upgrade, you'll get access to the learning lists for e-structure, the notes for quick reviews, audio recordings to listen on the go, and the entire library for a lifetime, including Boysen's amazing talk that we just got the chance to witness. And if you're like me and need time to process and integrate, this is really great. There's so many great talks and 1,000 speakers. You'll also be helping to make this accessible to everyone else, and you'll be supporting the huge team that made this beautiful, crazy idea possible. So with that, I'd like to really just thank you, Boysen, for this wonderful session and for gracing us with your presence. And thank you to all of you who've shown up here to participate with us. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you. Bye. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.